This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Brother Bona Muhammad coming at you with another episode of Hangout, where we literally hang out. And we have another guest with us here today. As always, we bring to you very interesting scholars and speakers and du'at and teachers that have an interesting message and thoughts that we can share here live on the show of Hangout. And today we have with us Brother Yusha Evans. Assalamu alaikum, akhi. How's everything?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. We're actually in Kenya right now. I know you can't really tell, but there's kind of like a jungle-ish background happening here. But we are in the middle of Africa here. Alhamdulillah. We're here for the Journey of Faith conference. And we were actually just chatting a little bit before we actually started rolling about the role of friends. I know that for myself specifically, when I was coming into Deen, I had a lot of people that were good influences and bad influences on me.
Yeah.
You know, and these kind of polar opposites sometimes can plague a lot of our young people. You know, a lot of young Muslims out there, they're influenced by their friends perhaps more than their imam or more than their parents or more than people in their lives. Can you talk a little bit about that concept of friendship and how important it is to have good friends in Deen?
Well, more than it is being logical, they're actually a good grounding basis in Islam for having good companions, good friends. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that you are the deen of your companion. Mm. That whoever you're friends with, that's where your deen is. You know what I mean? So you have to understand that friendship based in Islam are quite important. I mean, even when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrah, along with all of the companions to Medina, one of his first order of business was to establish the bonds of brotherhood between Muslims, between the Muhajirin and the Ansar. So this shows us that having that close companion, having someone you can rely on, having someone that you can trust in, having someone you can take advice from and vice versa, is quite important in our deen, as well as it being logical that, you know, who you hang out with, that's birds of a feather flock together, as they say.
Right.
You know what I mean? We see this in the streets.
Right.
You know, the thugs hang out with, you know, you don't see the thugs hanging out on the college campuses with the students. You know what I mean?
It's just
the way it works. Mm. So you got to be careful of who you choose to be your friends.
I think there's a lot of people that are kind of conflicted, like for so many young people out there. perhaps you've had friends that you've had for a very long time. You know, maybe there's somebody you grew up with and somebody who's kind of been with you through so many things, you know, thick and thin. But you've started to progress. You've started to, you know, try and become a better person. You started to try and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes we feel as though the people that we were with, you know, we don't want to leave them hanging. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to leave them behind.
Sure.
What would you do in that circumstance? Like, in that scenario, how would you advise a young person that maybe has some negative, quote-unquote, negative friends, but wants to move on and become a better person?
Well, there's no hard and fast rule of thumb when it comes to that. You know what I mean? This is a very fluid type of situation. It depends on the individual. For instance, if this person's trying to come onto Deen now and they're struggling with it, you know what I mean? It's not something that it's just coming easy to them. They're kind of struggling.
Right.
Then this would be the type of person I would say, look, maybe you need to take a vacation from these guys. You know what I mean? If you've been with them all your life, they're going to be there. They're not going anywhere, inshallah.
Right.
So you might need to take a step back, put yourself around better people who are going to influence you to do the right thing, who are going to help you progress. Then maybe when you become strong enough, then you can go back and help these guys. Because one thing I do know, you can't help someone when you're not helping yourself. This is just reality.
Right.
You can't give someone else something you don't yourself possess. So if you haven't come on to Deen yet and strong and have good morals and manners and etiquettes and habits yet, how are you going to influence somebody else to do that? Especially somebody else who you've known all your life, they got an influence on you, the peer pressure is there.
Right.
So it might be a time to step back. You might have some people that are on their Deen. They're secure, they're strong, you know, they've come out of the dunya life and they still have friends that they've known for a very long time. And those people might not influence them. And those people might be okay with them. They might know that, okay, this guy doesn't go out and drink anymore. He doesn't party. He doesn't do all of these things.
Right.
I'm cool with that. We hang out in this other space. And therefore, you might be able to influence this individual. Then I would say, okay, maybe you can continue to spend time with this person.
Right.
So it really, everybody has to know their own selves. They have to know whether they are ready to be in a negatively influenced environment and can they survive in that.
Right. So what are some of the characteristics of a good friend? You know, for those people who that maybe are not quite sure, like, is this actually a good person or a bad person to be around? What would you say are some of the telltale signs of somebody who's a good friend versus someone who's a bad friend?
The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a perfect example of that. He said, the good companion is like the seller of musk. Meaning, if you go to the sellers of musk or the sellers of utur, you're either going to buy something good to take home or you're going to leave smelling good because they let you try on everything.
Right.
So no matter what happens in that transaction, there's benefit. There's benefit in that transaction.
Right.
So you have to ask yourself, is there benefit? Real, you have to be honest. You see, this is one thing that a lot of the youth don't understand is they can't be real with themselves. Talk about keeping it real, but the first person you need to be real with is you.
Right.
Am I benefiting from time with this individual? Am I benefiting? If you are benefiting genuinely from your time with this individual, for dunya wal akhirah, in this life and in the next, then okay, this will be a good friend, this will be a good companion. On the reverse side, the Prophet ﷺ said that the bad companion is like the blacksmith. That when you go into a traditional blacksmith shop, they're pounding metal, smoke's flying everywhere, sparks are flying everywhere. He said, you're either going to get burned or you're going to leave with your clothes smelling. So there's no benefit. There is detriment to this relationship. So you have to ask yourself, is this relationship with this individual, the time that I spend with them, do I leave benefited or do I leave feeling, you know, bad, detrimented? Our conscience speaks a lot. You know, that inner part of our soul that has a compass between right and wrong, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that fitrah. You know, leaving this companionship, whether it was a good or bad thing. So this is the difference between a good friend and a bad friend. Do they benefit you? Or are they doing you more harm than they are doing good?
Right.
It's a balance.
Okay, so let's take some, you know, practical examples. For instance, maybe you have a friend who doesn't pray. Okay. They don't necessarily stop you from praying.
Yeah.
But they're just not a person that, you know, regularly prays. But I mean, is this still a person that you could, you know, have that companionship with?
I would say companionship is a different word. You can have friends that you consider acquaintances. You know, somebody that I know that I deal with that we spend a little bit of time together. A companion is someone who you would put your trust in, someone whom you would ask advice from, someone whom you would go to in times of hardship or need a shoulder to lean on. If there's a person who's not praying, their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is non-existent.
Right.
I don't really know how much of I can consider this a companion. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't really think that there would be benefit in this type of relationship. Unless this is now on a stage where you're strong enough to now spend time with this person to encourage them and influence them to come to where you're at. Because one thing about friendship, it's going one way or the other. Either you're pulling them, or they're pulling you. Somebody's influencing somebody.
Right.
So maybe you have to look at it that way. If I'm influencing this individual, time spent with them might be beneficial.
Okay.
But if they're influencing you, I would say this is probably not someone you want to take as a companion.
Right. So what would be an example of like a bad friend? How do you tell, telltale sign? You know, we talked about a little bit of the characteristics of a good friend. What would be, you know, a telltale sign that this person is a negative influence? I should not be around this person.
You have to ask yourself, how do you feel after you spend time with this person? Is your iman increased or is it decreased? If it's decreased and you start feeling yourself being drawn back towards those bad habits you used to be into and negative things, and you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much and things of this nature, this is a bad friend, this is a bad companion. This is not someone you want to be spending time with. The influence is too negative. Because one thing we do know for sure, that bad habits are easy to pick up. No matter how long you've been away from them. You understand?
Right.
It's so easy just to pick them right back up. So if you feel yourself going back down that road, this is probably a sign of a negative companionship, a negative friendship. Are you feeling like you've been drained out? Because I've had those experiences where I have people I've known from my past. I've spent time with them. Afterwards, you just feel drained. You know, your iman feels sucked out. You feel like you've been spending time with shaitan all day long.
Right.
You know, so you have to ask yourself this type of scenario, or while you're with this person, think, what are we doing? Are we doing anything now together as friends that I would say on the day of judgment, I'll be okay that I spent this time together? When I find this page in my book on this day, would I be okay doing this?
If you can't
say yes, this is a bad influence.
Okay, here's an interesting question. You know, there's a lot of people out there that feel like, you know, they can have friends of the opposite gender. Okay, so guys feel like, you know, it's no problem. She's just a friend. She's just somebody from school. She's just somebody I'm giving dawah to. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows about that type of dawah, right?
Yeah.
What about this idea of having friends of the opposite gender? Can this actually exist? Can men and women be friends?
This is going to get us a lot of flack as well,
this,
man.
This is the timeless
this
question.
This is the hot button issue right here. When you want to get realistic, men know that being friends with a woman always comes with a level of intimacy, regardless. Okay. Regardless of the scenario or regardless of the circumstance. Men and women are like magnets. The closer you put them together, the stronger the force to put them to make them touch and stick together becomes. Right. It's just reality. We're like magnets like that.
Okay.
The closer you get, the more things are going to happen. Mm. Can't count how many scenarios and how many movies Hollywood has put about the friends who then become, you know, more than friends and things of that nature. It's just the reality. And even if, let's say, there is that exception to the rule. Okay. There's that guy or that girl out there that can be around a guy and another girl and they can be okay. That exception to the rule is a drop in the pond. It's a drop in the pond. Mm. It's playing with fire. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Mm. And we all know what happens when you play with fire. You're going to get, at some point, you're going to get burned. Mm. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا زِنَا إِنُّهُ كَانَ فَحِشَى وَسَأَ السَّبِيلَ. Don't even go close to it. Mm. Don't even play around in that street. Right. You understand what I'm saying? This street here, just stay away from it. Mm. Because it is an evil thing that leads to an evil road. Mm. And who knows better the construct of the human being than the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. Us men are designed to have an innate, deep-seated attraction to women. It's what keeps the human race going. Right. You understand?
Right.
It's just reality. Men are normally logical human beings. Normally, this is we're known as logical. But when it comes to women, that logic is just thrown out the window. Thrown out the door. We don't have our logic anymore. Mm. And this is just reality. Men know this if they wanted to be real with themselves.
Right.
And sisters need to understand. Sisters might be more able to have a male friend.
Right.
You know, and say, oh, he's just my friend. Yeah, but you don't know what's on the other side of the coin. You need to understand how we are in our deepest nature. Being friends with between the opposite genders is playing with fire, and it's never something that I've seen be beneficial.
Mm. And there's also the hadith of Prophet ﷺ. He said that, you know, when an unmarried man and woman are together, the third party is the shaitan.
Yeah.
Right. But I know for a lot of people, they still feel as though, you know, working
they can
in
handle it.
Not just they can handle it, yes, but working in different environments, like, you know, being a part of an MSA or being a part of a work environment or being a part of, you know, you have school, you have colleagues, you have people you have to deal with. Yeah. To what level can you have this, that kind of friendship?
This is another thing. We're not saying, look, you know, I mean, you can't talk to a woman. You know what I mean? We walk around with our heads down and just women all need to watch it. You know what I mean? This is just, it's a bit unrealistic. Mm. Especially in a world with a population like we see now.
Right.
Women are outnumbering men. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's going to ever increase.
Right.
You're going to have to deal with the sisters at some point. You're going to have to deal with a woman at some point.
Yeah,
in your job.
Yeah,
or your school. You're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
But that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made rules and regulations. This deen is kamal, meaning perfect. It's complete. Mm. It has everything in it.
Mm.
The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you're dealing with a woman, lower your gaze.
Mm.
You know, guard your modesty, things of this nature. The sister should be the same way. She should guarding herself. She should be protecting herself in these intimate relationships.
Mm.
It should be a thing where, yeah, if I have to work on a school project with a woman, my teacher has said, you two have to work together.
Mm.
No problem. We have to work on this paper together. Let's do it in the public library. There's a lot of people around. You know, let's invite some other people, you know, so that there's witness to this whole transaction, what's going on and things of that nature. Find ways to safeguard yourself.
Mm.
That's what Islam is all about. Islam is not about just forbidding interaction between men and women.
Mm.
It makes no sense. It's about protecting those interactions between men and women so that the things that happen, that are supposed to happen between a husband and wife, happen in that guarded realm of marriage.
Right.
Because
everything
outside of it we know is haram.
Right.
So you have to protect yourself from that. But it's not saying that you can't deal with a woman. You have to deal with a woman.
Mm. Here's another question a lot of young people ask, and I've been asked this before. You know, you have friends and colleagues, like I said, even non-Muslim, you know, in school and work and all these different environments that we're in. Can you take a non-Muslim as a friend? Is that something that is permissible for you to do as a Muslim in Islam?
Again, it all goes back to the definition, friend.
Mm.
What does friend mean? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says not to take them as awliya. This is quite clear. Awliya means someone that you depend on, that you trust, that is protecting you, that you would, you know, confide in and things of that nature. For this, you know, this is problematic, you know, because it's when the Muslim and non-Muslim interact, what's supposed to be transpiring through that relationship is da'wah. It's da'wah. This is the reality.
Mm.
If a Muslim were to say that I've been friends with this non-Muslim for 10 years, my response would be like, well, there's something's wrong here. What's happened?
Mm.
You've been friends with this guy for 10 years.
Mm.
You have the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. you haven't convinced him of that yet. And if you had been trying, he wouldn't have stayed for 10 years. Mm. You understand?
Right.
This is what's going to happen. Either he's going to get tired of hearing all this nonsense mm-hmm. and leave you, or he's going to become a Muslim. You know, so this also needs to be understood in its context. That I can say I have people who are my acquaintances that we know each other, that we've spent time with each other. He might even know my kids. I might know his kids, etc., so on and so forth. Mm. But what I call him a friend, I would call him someone that is a potential new Muslim for me. Mm. A potential person who can bring me ajr in the hereafter because I'm giving him the da'wah.
Right, right.
And he's either going to accept it or he's going to end up running away because I'm not giving up.
Mm.
You know, this needs to be the attitude. If this were the attitude of the Muslims, our relationship with non-Muslims would be quite different. They would know much more about Islam, even if they didn't accept Islam. They would be well informed
right.
about what Islam is. Or that we'd have a lot more new Muslims in Islam that came to Islam through the efforts of a Muslim, not just because they saw, you know, craziness in the news and then went and found a book themselves and Allah guided them.
Mm.
So, you know, it's one of those touchy relationships. Yeah, you can have non-Muslims that we're supposed to interact with them.
Right.
You can't be aloof from them.
Right.
The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't get his companions say, look, you know, we're going to go live in the mountains because non-Muslims here, you know, we can't interact with them. The Prophet made peace treaties with non-Muslims, Jews, Christians. He even made peace treaties with the mushrikeen, you know, and things of that nature. He dealt with them, he interacted with them, he did business with them, he had loans from them. So yeah, he did things with them that you can maybe consider that he knew them well enough to consider a friend. But at the same time, we know the Prophet was always in the mode of da'wah, trying to bring people to Islam, whether through his mannerisms or his direct confrontations with them. So you have to ask yourself, what kind of relationship is this? Is this a relationship where we just hang out for the sake of hanging out, or am I trying to accomplish something in this relationship?
Mm. Just out of curiosity, was there anyone, you know, in your growth and your journey towards Islam that was like a good friend, somebody who stood out as somebody that was that support system for you at a time when maybe you didn't have, you know, many Muslim friends and companions around you?
Yeah, and I've told this story before in some of my talks. when I first moved down to Florida, I'd only been a Muslim a short period of time. And I had a construction job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd moved there. I didn't know anybody.
Right.
Knew no one. I'd only been to the masjid once. You know, I met a couple people, but you know, didn't know anybody really. And I had gotten a construction job in Florida in the summer.
Mm.
Burning hot. You know, but you got to work. You have to, you know, you have to provide for yourself. So I was working, and then the first Friday came. And I told the boss, you know, that, look, I'm going to take a little bit longer lunch today. I'll stay an hour extra, no problem, but I have to go to Friday prayers. And he basically told me it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? You're not going. And it's a Friday, you don't walk off the workplace. Long story short, he said, if you leave, you're fired.
Mm.
You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told me, you know, when the call is made for Jum'ah, you leave off business and trade.
Right.
This is a done deal. This is a no-brainer.
Right.
So I left. Now I have no job. Mm. Don't know what I'm going to do next. Don't know where the next income is going to come, how I'm going to live. So I went to the masjid. On the way to the masjid, I made dua to Allah, you know, that, Ya Allah, you know, you are al-Razaq, you are the one who provides, so I'm obeying you. So, you know, I was putting it basically forward to Allah, that look, here's your chance to put up the end of the bargain. I've done my half.
Mm.
Let's go. So I went to Jum'ah, and after I was leaving, there's a young man I'd met before. He came and asked me, do I have a job? You know, I said, well, I had one as of this morning. I don't have one now.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and got his father, who was a very old, well-respected man from Philistine. Had owned a very, very well-established pizza shop on the beach, mind you, on the beach. And he came and said, well, my dad needs somebody to work at the shop. His father came, talked to me, gave me a job, doubled the salary that I was making that morning. I was making double by the end of the day. And I ended up spending about 4 years working at his pizza shop and probably learning a great, great deal about not only Islam, but etiquettes and manners. He was one of the most well-mannered and beautiful individuals. Someone actually just tweeted me yesterday that I know only on Twitter. He actually went to St. Augustine, went to that pizza shop and was just tweeting me about how beautiful this man was, that he was in there crying in his pizza shop because of the etiquettes and the adab of this man.
Mashallah.
So yeah, you know, I've had those influences. If it weren't for people coming into my life at the right place at the right time, I wouldn't be here today doing what I'm doing right now. It's those people who everybody asks me, how did you get to do what you do now, traveling the globe, giving lectures? It's because Allah placed the right people in my life at the right time. Mm. It's reality.
And so for those people who maybe, you know, are looking for that influence, what would you suggest? Like, how does somebody find a great friend like that? I guess a lot of dua maybe, or?
Dua is going to be number one. But secondly, try to look for the brother who, when you see him, or the sister who, when you see her, she reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a good test right there. Mm. There are people that I know like that. I can name 10 people off the top of my mind right now that even just remembering them reminds me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. There's a beautiful sheikh that I'm studying with in Minneapolis, Sheikh Waleed Idris. He's that man for me now. Mm. That when I see him, I can't help but, you know, say alhamdulillah when I see this man. Mashallah. You know, so these are the type of people that you try to look for. Mm. People that when you see them, they remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a smile on their face. They're positive about life. Mm. They have deen. And they're living their lives. These are the type of people that you look for. Mm.
Inshallah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best of companionships in this life and in the next.
Ameen.
Jazakallah khair for joining us, akhi. Barakallah feek.
Barakallah.
And jazakallah khair for everybody watching. And hopefully you'll stay tuned for another episode of Hangout, where we hang out with great people all the time. Barakallah feek for watching. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي